This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
We bring in the new head coach
Here we go.
The New York Jets, Robert Saleh. Coach, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Now, obviously, this is something you've worked for your whole life, but when you hear yourself introduced as the new head coach of the New York Jets, what kind of feeling is that?
It's cool, man. I mean, it's what a blessing, right? I couldn't be happier. It's been a heck of a journey, and the best part about it is it's just beginning. So it's I'm excited about the opportunity.
The players seem to love you. Richard Sherman has had high praise about you. So does that, Robert, make you a player's coach?
I think it makes everyone, it makes us human. You know, it's, I don't know if there's, I've never bought into the whole player's coach, all that stuff. I just think when people are genuinely in it together and we're all fighting for one thing and people invest in one another, I just think it naturally happens that way. So you can call it a player's coach if you want. I just think it's being respectful to the process and understanding what these players go through day in and day out and having it reciprocated from a player's viewpoint to coach. And so, but always understanding that we're in this together. We win together, we lose together, we learn together. And so, you know, having that mentality is going to be is the most important thing to me with regards to this profession.
I was wondering, because I was listening to your Zoom call with the media, and you said the players have to know that you care about them. And I started to wonder how a difficult tightrope that must be. So you have to care about your players, but sometimes you have to get tough with them. Sometimes you have to say, no, that you did the wrong thing. How difficult is that for you to make that tightrope across the bridge?
It's not difficult because players want to be coached. They want to be coached hard. They want perfection. They want to know that you're helping them make plays on Sunday so they can have the best career they can possibly have. And so when a player knows that you're genuinely invested in them and you're genuinely trying to help them get better every day, you can tell them what they need to hear so they can get better. They want to hear it. I think when you see it a lot, coaches are afraid to coach players because of what they might feel about them. Well, it's different when they know where your heart is. It's different when they know you can help them. It's different. It's a lot easier to be able to have those conversations because those players know that you're just trying to help them get to where they want to get to.
I'm sorry, Peter.
No. Go ahead, Don.
Many people have said, why didn't this happen sooner? You've been ready now for a couple of years. If that was the case, what did these last couple of years do to help you before taking this job?
You're always going to find ways to get better, right? I'm more prepared today than I was 2 years ago. I'm more prepared today than I was yesterday. Every day that goes by, you always have to find a way to get better. And so whatever your circumstances doesn't change the fact that you've got to wake up every morning and find ways to improve your style, improve yourself. And so, you know, it never met any frustration. It's just opportunities come about. And to be honest with you, throughout this whole process, you know, it's even if it didn't work out during this process, I was still going to be one of the lucky ones. And but to have it happen in this town with this team means more than I think people can possibly realize.
Coach, there's a lot of excitement here about your attitude, the success you had on defense in San Francisco. And also excitement because you're the first Muslim head coach. And there's the entire Muslim community here is very excited about that. First of all, what does that mean to you? And second of all, we all say Robert Saleh. Is that exactly how your family pronounces your name?
Yep. No, that's exactly right. I'm humbled, to be honest with you. It's it's with great humility that that people recognize that part of it. It's one of the cool things about a football locker room. When you step into a football locker room, the amount of stories, nationalities, races that you encounter in a locker room is second to none. And the fact that all of them can appreciate and combine together for one goal is what makes those locker rooms so cool and unique. The discussions that are had, the relationships that are made, everything without judgment. And so, you know, those locker rooms, to be a part of those locker rooms and to be a part of these organizations has been a blessing for the last however many years. And so it is a very humbling thing to be a part of.
Now, Coach, obviously, you know, a coordinator is always going to take a head coaching job. I mean, that's just a natural progression. But everything I've read, you are beloved in San Francisco. I mean, Shanahan just has the most glowing things to say about you. Was that a difficult goodbye for you because you were so well regarded by the people and the players?
It's always hard. What the Shanahan family has done for me, the support not only from Kyle but from his wife Mandy to Kyle's father Mike. The amount of support and guidance and just words of wisdom that have been bestowed upon me, it is met with tremendous gratitude. And so it's always hard, but they are forever family to me. The entire Niners organization is family. The players, the coaches, the York family. Just because you're in a different location doesn't mean that they're not family and that you can't FaceTime and you can't communicate. And so it's always hard, but it's never goodbye. It's more, I'll see you later, you know?
Yep.
You it's known that you and Matt LaFleur are best friends, going back a very long time to Central Michigan. How dialed in will you be this weekend, for his championship game on Sunday?
Oh man, you know, I got a lot of respect for all the different coaches and, especially at Tampa and all that, but I will, you know, probably aside from his wife and kids and his immediate family, I'll be his next best cheerleader. I'm going to get together with Mike and we're going to sit down and I'm praying for him. I can't wait to see his team execute. He's done such an unbelievable job over there and really, really excited for him and the opportunity that he's got with his team. And they're rolling, so it's going to be a cool game to watch.
Now, Coach, you just got this job.
Go ahead, Don.
You just got this job. But you did face this team in week two, so you do have some kind of knowledge of the personnel. Who are some of the current Jets right now that impress you?
You know what? We're going to go through that process. I've got to sit down with the staff and really sit down over the next few weeks and just really evaluate these guys and see where they are. But I can. There's some really cool guys. Just recollection from the draft and just over the years. And you look at on defense, Quinnen Williams. That kid is special. He's a game wrecker. He's somebody you have to game plan against to keep him at bay. And obviously, it gives the other 10 guys an opportunity to excel just because of the focus that he's going to garner. On the other side of the ball, you look at Sam. Sam is an unbelievable talent. He really is. There's a reason why he was the third pick in the draft. His arm talent is special. He's a natural thrower. He's fearless in the pocket. The young man's got the mental capacity to process and make decisions in a timely manner to keep himself clean. And if things break down, he has the ability to scramble and make plays on the move. So there are a lot of really good players to go through the whole roster. I'm sure I'd miss somebody, but there's a lot of great pieces to this roster, and to have the ability to study it all and see where everything fits as we deploy this scheme and implement and install our schemes on offense, defense, and special teams. It'll kind of come to fruition about where we're at.
New Jets head coach Robert Saleh is our guest here on the Michael Kay Show, 98.7 ESPN. By the way, Coach, is the home of the New York Jets. We have all the games on, so we look forward to talking to you a lot. Now, Steve Young is on with us every Monday, and for the longest time, he has long contended. He said, in this day and age, you need an offensive guy to be the head coach. He said, especially with the Jets, because the Jets have really struggled offensively, especially with Sam, you want to grow him. Now, once you got hired, he hedged his bet. He said, I really like this guy a lot. He said, let's see if it works. What do you say to the people that say that in this day and age, you need an offensive guy to be the head coach?
Well, obviously I'm biased, right?
Yes.
I don't think you need an offensive guy to make things work. There's just look at the AFC East. Bill Belichick is one of the greatest coaches of all time. Sean McDermott's doing a phenomenal job with a young quarterback. Flores has done a great job flipping, getting the Miami Dolphins flipped in a hurry. You go look at Mike Tomlin, Pete Carroll, Mike Zimmer. We'll put John Harbaugh in in the defensive boat as a special teamer, same with Joe Judge. And so the vision of the head coach, like I said, from a leadership standpoint, it's the vision of the entire organization to ensure that the character of the individuals and is about developing and playing at a highest level and making sure that that vision is always at the forefront of everybody's mind. And so offense, defense, special teams, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me. It's about executing a vision and understanding what leadership wants and how we can get that down to the field and connected to the players as quickly as possible so they can speak that message through the way they play. And so obviously I'm biased, but some of the longest tenured coaches in this league's history have been on the defensive side of the ball. So
what does a head coach do to turn around the mentality of a team that's been as bad as this team has been, to be frank, Coach? I mean, I don't know if you've paid much attention. The last couple of years have not been pretty. And a lot of guys have had to suffer through sort of game after game with very little opportunity to win. How do you sort of turn around that mentality for guys that have been beat up over the last couple of years?
You know, number one, it starts with the communication and collaboration with Joe and his staff and understanding exactly what each scheme calls for with regards to players. And then from there, putting the players in the best position they can, you possibly can, to help them be successful. Obviously, there's messaging, there's standards, there's practice habits, there's expectations, and all of those will be continually just hammered home every single day. But at the end of the day, when everything is said and done, and I've said it before with regards to investment, the best coach teams are the teams that coach themselves. And in order to get to that point, the players really have to believe in one another and believe in the coaching staff and the leadership that's speaking to them on a daily basis. When that happens and the players take the thing over, it's going to be positive, and it's going to be with a standard that just screams positivity, that screams good football. And so there's a process that goes through it, and there's a lot of communication, there's a lot of things and a lot of work to be done as we move forward. But players want to win just as badly as coaches do, and when everyone knows that you're doing it together, I just can't help but feel that the message in itself takes care of itself.
Woody Johnson is on his way back to become the owner again of this team. Is it strange, Robert, that you haven't met or spoken to your new boss yet?
No, I don't think so. You know, it's everything I've gathered about Woody is that he wants to win football games. And so I'm really looking forward to having conversations with him and building a relationship, the same relationship that I have with Christopher, Joe, and Jaime. And that's one of great communication and trust. And so I look forward to meeting him. And everything I've heard about him has been nothing but positive, and I'm excited about it.
All right, Coach, I was wondering about this. When you watch 49er games over the last couple of years, you're very photogenic. You're a good-looking guy. You're demonstrative. The camera was always on you, more than Shanahan. Can you be that demonstrative as a head coach? Do you have to dial it back a little bit? Have you thought about that?
Yeah, I think it's natural. There's a heck of a lot of other things that happen in a football game, right? So, you know, I'm celebrating for our guys and all those things, and I don't know how much that's going to change, but I don't have to worry about fourth down. I don't have to worry about special teams, the red flag, time management, timeouts. I didn't have to worry about any of that stuff. And so obviously I'm going to be a lot more mindful with regards to how those things, the operations of an in-game operation. But, you know, they're still going to feel juice. When you have that investment, you're going to feel juice. And so you're going to have that outward expression. And it's obviously, I get it. I've got to dial it back quickly enough to keep myself in the moment, but I'm not worried about being able to control all that stuff still.
Coach, you have a big family. What are the ages of the kids, and how does the family feel about New York?
Oh man, you're putting me a pop quiz.
Well, there's a lot. I want to see how you do it.
So my oldest is 10. Then we go 10, 8. 7, 5, 3, and 1 with a newborn coming up in April.
How do you have time?
Wild man.
Hey, I'll tell you what, my wife, without her, she is she's the glue, the foundation. What's that?
She's a saint.
She's already got a place reserved in heaven. I promise you that.
So. Wow, that's a lot of kids.
No, they're each one's a blessing. I'll be honest, and so I always tell people, God will never put you in a position you can't handle, and so
you're tested with six.
Oh yeah, now, seven on the way. So.
Oh really?
Wow.
Yeah,
they're
doing
April.
I
would ask you what you dreamed about last night, but I don't think you've slept.
You know, it depends on which foot's in my face when I'm trying to sleep. So.
Wow. All right, so we don't have to rehash. It's been a rough couple of years for the Jets. Jet fans are so pumped up. Is this a long term thing to get them back to where the fans want them to be, or where you want to be, or do you think it could be a quick turnaround, Coach?
I don't know. You know, it's I would love to give you the definitive answer. I've never put things on time because it could flip tomorrow. It could flip whenever, but. One thing I know is that we're going to win championships, and the communication, the way we go about our daily business, the work that we're going to put in, where the end of the line is to that championship is, I wish I could tell you, but I do know it's going to happen, and I think that this entire city is going to gravitate towards this organization, and it's going to get to where everyone expects it to be, and so we embrace the past, we embrace the expectations, and we're excited to fulfill on that promise.
Did you follow any of the Detroit teams growing up?
All of them. You know, Lions, Tigers, Pistons, Red Wings, all of them are – I mean, I was Detroit through and through, so.
Do you run the stadium steps every day, Coach? I read that you do that.
I do. You know, it's not – it's every game day, run the stadium steps, and – you know, I've been doing it since I was a GA in college. So it's just kind of been a habit of just trying to release some energy before kickoff. It helps me kind of go through the process of how I think the game's going to go. And, as a play caller, how I was going to call the game. And, I would imagine that my thought process will be a little bit different as I run the steps and I organize my thoughts, this time around.
Now, I don't think that you can answer this, but I do have to ask it. Everybody's wondering. You've got the second pick. There's quarterbacks available there. Do you have a gut feeling if it's going to be Sam? I don't know if you could even say it. You seem like you like his talent. Can you tell us anything about that?
No, that's a fair question, and I'd expect you to ask that one. It's, you know, to be honest, like I said, there's so many conversations that have to be had with Joe and his staff, and there's so many different things that we have to do with regards to painting the picture and helping Joe and his staff find the best players in the world, and then there's obviously the evaluation of our guys and how they fit and how we can put them and place them in positions within our schemes to help them get better, and so to answer that question would be severely premature.
Okay.
All right. That's so Sam Darnold and DeSean Jackson are both hanging off a cliff. You can only save one.
Oh,
you mean DeSean Watson?
Well. DeSean Watson. Before you got here, the structure of the Jets was that, you know, you independently would report to ownership, general manager report to ownership. We're hearing that the way the structure is going to be now is you will report to Joe Douglas and Joe would report to ownership. Did you care about that structure at all, or did you understand what the structure would be when you first came to interview with the team?
Yeah, I don't care, and I was fully aware of the structure. But when you talk to Joe, I've always contended that the whole thing on titles with reporting structure and who has the 90, who has the 53, the 46, all that stuff, I've always felt that those titles are needed for organizations who have a problem. This organization does not have a problem. This is an organization that truly wants to communicate. When you have communication and collaboration and the way that Joe has talked and the things that he's expressed to me on what he wants, those are just titles. They're irrelevant because at the end of the day, the best decisions will be made for the entire organization. And Joe has expressed a sincere amount of humility in terms of how he wants to do things. And when you have humility that Joe has expressed to me, the humility to listen and to get ideas, and so that way he can gather information to make the best decisions for this organization. All that stuff is irrelevant because at the end of the day, you can just tell Joe and his staff they're incredibly collaborative. They're information gatherers, and they want input. And when you have that type of communication and collaboration, like I said, it doesn't matter who has the final say, because the final say will be made together.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mike LaFleur is your offensive coordinator. Are you going to mirror what San Francisco does offensively?
Yeah, there's going to be that, obviously, San Francisco offense and Shanahan offense. But, you know, I expect Mikey to kind of put his own little spin on it. You know, it's no different. I was kind of raised through that Seattle system. And once we got to San Francisco and I had a chance to call it and build it with our staff, we put our spin on it, and we've kind of evolved to something that's completely different than we actually were. But the foundation and the principles of that system are still intact, even though when you watch the tape, it's very different. I would expect Mikey to kind of do the same thing. He knows exactly how it works. He knows exactly the process at which they go to install it. He knows exactly the core principles that need to be executed on a play-in and play-out basis. But at the same time, Mikey's going to put a spin on it, and he's going to try to find a way to make it better. And so he's been surrounded by an unbelievable staff, especially getting run game coordinator John Benton to work with the O-line and all the young pieces, Miles Austin, Taylor Embry. I'm sure I'm going to miss somebody, but I'm really, really excited about that offensive staff and them working together to see if they can make it better.
And what will your defensive principles be, Coach?
Defensively, so, you know, we've got our San Francisco, the stuff that we've evolved to. We're going to start there as our base. But again, Jeff Albrecht being here, he's got a lot of knowledge. He obviously knows our system, and he knows the core principles of it all. And so he's going to see something that's different over the next couple of weeks as we continue to install the system. But I encourage him to see if he can find ways to make it better without overloading the player, while at the same time maintaining the core fundamentals that this thing is built off of. And so I want to see if he can make it better. And hopefully through communication and us watching tape and having a lot of discussions, we'll find a way to make that happen.
Now, this story has been written, but maybe our listeners and viewers have not heard it. The direction of your life, Coach, kind of changed on 9/11 when your brother was in one of the towers. Now, thank goodness he got out and he's okay. But how did that change the way you looked at life?
You know, 9/11 had to have impacted everyone in some form or fashion throughout this entire country. Through tragedy and my brother's experience, I had the opportunity to self-reflect. I was sitting in a cubicle and realized, like, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I'm not supposed to be doing this. And through his experience and through tragedy, I made the decision to pursue coaching and give it a shot and see where it would take me. And a lot of people have helped me along the way. There's been a lot of influences along the way. There's been a lot of incredible people who have helped me rise and stand up and get better and get to where I am today. So I have been very, very fortunate on this journey, and to be a part of this city and this team is, like I said, I just feel like it was supposed to happen. And so I'm excited about it. It's going to be cool.
Well, Coach, we want to thank you. We can't wait till everybody gets vaccines so we can actually come to Forum Park and shake your hand and congratulate you. Hopefully we could talk to you a lot, all the games that the Jets play are on our station. So it's been a pleasure talking to you. We wish you the best of luck. I know every Jet fan is rooting so hard for you to do very well. So all the best and a great success.
Thank you so much, guys. I can't wait to meet you all too, man.
All right. Thank you, man.
Take care, Coach.
Robert Saleh, he's the head coach of the Jets. I got to tell you, I thought he was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, really, there's a sense of him being very genuine. That's him.
Real. That's what I thought, real.
I don't know if he could coach. Well, I mean, obviously, he can coach. He's been in this league as an assistant, as a coordinator. No, but we're going to find out what kind of coach he's going to be. But But from the man standpoint, getting to know somebody, it just seemed like he was a very genuine, easy to get along with dude that wasn't putting on airs. He wasn't trying to impress, trying to be something that he's not. That was very impressive.
I know we talk about winning the press conference. That was winning the first interview. I mean, he was, especially for a guy who, the main thing we know about him is how charged up he is and the amount of emotion he shows on the sideline. And a lot of times, Michael, that translates into being sort of like a closed-off football guy.
Right.
But he wasn't that at all. I was actually probably most appreciative of his honest answer about rooting for the Packers this weekend. Like, that was such a human thing. That's my best friend. And my brother and his brother is my boy, so we're going to watch. Not, oh, I'm going to be watching tape all weekend.
Right.
He was a human, normal guy. He was incredibly likable.
Very much so. Michael Kasho on 98.7 ESPN. Brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Let's talk about what you just heard. What impressed you? What didn't impress you? I don't know if there was anything there. But, you know, the lines are here for you. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you. You just heard from Robert Saleh here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.